Okay, so the title of today's sermon is Vessel Unto Honor. Can we say that together? Okay, another way of saying it is a vessel for honorable use. So it's an older English King James that says vessel unto honor. But I prefer that, vessel unto honor. So let's open our Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're reading verse 19 to 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Okay, so I'd like to have a volunteer. Second Timothy 2. 19 to 22. A volunteer? New King James, King James, or New Living? So we have one. Yes, we take it. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22. Please listen and follow in your Bible. And please, I just remind you, no other apps on your phone to be engaged with in honor of Jesus Christ. Only your Bible app, your note app, and you can use Google to search for the meaning of words or verses when they are relevant. Only those two to the end of the sermon in honor of Jesus, to give him your full attention. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22. Please read, sir.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of pure heart.
Amen. Thank you very much for that. So that was King James Version. Let's have another version. New Living Translation? Yes. And after that, we're going to have Amplified, just to amplify it. Go on then.
But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts.
Amen. And finally, Amplified Version. Anybody have Amplified Version? 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 to 22. Amplified. Yes, thank you. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22.
Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God which he said stands sure and unshaken despite attacks, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord stand apart from wickedness and withdraw from wrongdoings. Now, in a large house, there are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also vessels and objects of wood and of earthenware. Some are of honorable, noble, good use, and some for dishonorable, ignoble, common. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, which are dishonorable, disobedient, sinful, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart for special purpose, and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Run away from youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those believers who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen. It's amazing the way, thank you. It's amazing the way all the reasons are finished, like, you know, talking about those who call on the Lord out of what? Pure heart. And I want to remind you of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus was talking about those who are blessed. Actually, Jesus gives us his own list of those who are blessed. Because I know that, you know, we live in a generation where people like to say, I am blessed. And it's okay to say, I'm blessed. But just to say that, before you say that, try to get familiar with the word of God. And know what it truly means to be what? Blessed. And if you are in any doubt, go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus himself gives us a list of those who are blessed. One of the items there, I think it's verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? You shall see God. And that's not just talking about making to heaven, which is future, but it's talking about the fact that you'll be able to hear God clearly. You'll be able to see God more clearly. You'll be able to discern what God wants, what God is saying, what the plan of God for your life. You see, God has a plan for your life. Say with me, say, God has a plan for my life. Let's say it in a different way. Say, God, my loving heavenly Father, has a plan for my life. And I want to let you know that God's plan for you, because he's your loving heavenly Father, is always a good plan. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, I know the thoughts. Another verse says, I know the plans that I have towards you. They are plans of what? Of good. Another version says, plans of peace. Maybe I can interpret as it's a plan of purpose. Hallelujah. It's a plan of righteousness. And it's also a plan of glory. To bring you to an expected end. It's a plan that God has the end in mind. And his plan is to take you from where you are to, you see, where you are now, or where you are when you start with God's plan, you're like a raw product. But when you walk with God through his plan, you end up being what? A finished product. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, 17, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So when you follow the plan of God for your life, yeah, he's taking you somewhere. The finished you with God is much better than who you are. But God's plan for your life cannot be automatically fulfilled. You know why? Because God distributed a part of himself into you. And he calls it your free will. Yeah? The reason why you have free will is because you are a spirit. Hallelujah. Spirits have what? Free will. God is the Father of spirits. You came out of God. Okay? You came out of where? God. Not directly. Amen? Not directly, actually. You didn't come out of God directly. You came out of your parents. Amen? Yeah? But God created Adam. Yeah? And you know the meaning of Adam? What's the meaning of Adam? What does Adam mean? What? Man. Or maybe a better word for it would be mankind. God created Adam. Mankind. That was the only direct person created by God. Not even Eve was not directly created by God. Only Adam. Every other person came out of Adam. Hallelujah. So, but when you have a spirit, you have free will. So God's plan for your life, God did it that way. It's the same way marriage works. that you will never have full fulfillment in marriage until there's cooperation. Yeah? Because love must be offered voluntarily. You can't force a person to love you. Amen? They have to cooperate. They can choose not to, but they will suffer the consequences of not. You get it? If you choose not to cooperate with God, you will suffer the consequences. And it's not that God stopped loving you. You are just the one that refused, yeah, to be wise. Are you with me? So, because God is a loving God, yeah, He has a good plan for your life, but He also gives you the free will to choose to cooperate with that plan. When you cooperate with that plan, how do you cooperate with the plan of God? Through your faith and your obedience. It will take you. It is His grace. Amen? It is His grace. You can never fulfill God's plan by your power. You're too small. Amen? You need His grace. But as you trust Him, as you depend on Him, as you rely on Him, it will take you on the journey from where you are today to where He wants to take you. Hallelujah. He is the one who wants to take you there. Now, if you don't cooperate, you can drift off the plan. But even when you drift, God is always working to bring you back to where? To the plan. Hallelujah. Say with me, the plan of God. Let's start again. Say, God, my loving Heavenly Father, has a good plan for my life. You know, that defines your purpose. You are not purposeless. When you have located yourself in God, in your source, your life has a purpose. Hallelujah. When you kick God out, yeah, your life has lost purpose. Yeah, you are like a headless chicken. Have you ever seen a headless chicken? Yeah? A headless chicken, you know what they do? What do they do? What does a headless chicken do? Or what is unique about the headless chicken? You can search Google. Because you don't understand what I'm talking about. Yeah? Describe me a headless chicken.
You move with no direction.
What?
You move with no direction.
With no direction? Yeah, more? I need something more creative. Headless chicken. How does it behave? Sorry? It flaps around. Yeah? Any other description? Yeah, keep it quiet. You never seen one? It's just roaming all around. Yeah? Zigzag. Running with the maximum speed. Hallelujah. Burning energy. Going nowhere. Hallelujah. It's burning a lot of energy. But it's going where? Nowhere. And of course, eventually, they will run out of steam. And then what? And die. Amen? May that not be the story of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, 2 Timothy 2, it says that in a great house, in a large house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of clay. It says some vessels are for honorable use, and some are for what? Sorry? Every day, but every day does not heat it. Because, and every day, New Living says that. I do agree. But it doesn't hit it deep. Because an everyday use, some items you use every day are still very honorable. Some are for dishonorable use. For example, I don't know what happens in your house, but let me tell you what happens in my house with towels. Do you have towels? There's some towels you use for what? Cleaning your body. Yeah? Do you agree? I'm just trying to make sure you're with me. And some other towels you use for doing what? Cleaning the floor of your kitchen. I thought you said kitchen. Amen? Or your toilet. What will you do, Brazil? What will you do if you find out that that someone who you love very much whichever of them. And taking your bath towel to wipe the floor of what? Of the kitchen or the toilet. After all, it's a towel. Any answer, sir? Okay, someone can answer for you. Somebody, someone, can you answer for me? Anybody? What will you do if that was you? Your bath towel, your favorite bath towel. Yes.
Use a towel to clean the toilet softer.
Sorry?
Use a towel to clean
the toilet. That's the end. No, say that again. I didn't get it.
Use their own towel.
You retaliate. How does that solve the problem? You just complicated it. Any other answer? What will you do? Let's find a simpler answer that involves no retaliation.
Just flare up.
Yes. But find, give me an answer that doesn't involve retaliation, doesn't involve conflict in any way.
It's to buy a new towel.
Yes. And there's something that accompanies that, which is, do you want to say something different? Yes.
I was going to say something different to say, be disappointed.
Yes, disappointed, yes. Any other one? I had one more. What more? Someone told me the answer I'm looking for. You won't use it again. If you don't want to fight, yeah? I'm teaching because sometimes in life you must learn how to avoid fighting. Amen? Some other times you can't. Yeah, but sometimes you can. You will just go, you will see it, then you will keep quiet. Then, because you will be disappointed and something will be boiling inside, you go out. Make sure you don't let it boil and spill over to the person. Go out and go and buy what? A new towel. In fact, one that is more beautiful than the former one. Amen? So I'm just trying to give you an example between something that is for a honorable use and something that what is for a dishonorable use. In the same house. So also in the kingdom of God, we are the vessels. Say with me, say I'm a vessel. Say I'm a vessel. I hope you can relate with that. You are a vessel. Yeah? And you are either going to be for what? Honorable use. Or what? Someone say, but I'm in the house of God. Yes, you are. But in the great house, there are what? Many different types of vessels. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, you make the choice. Because if you read the verse, it said, if a man therefore purge himself. So that means there's a choice you can make. That decides whether you are moving from dishonor to honor, or reversely, you can also move from honor to what? To dishonor. Are you with me? In the hand of the Master, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question. Now, go back to 2 Timothy 2 and I'll ask you a question. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 King James, verse 21. 2 Timothy 2, 21. Let's read that again. I'll ask you a question. Anybody? Yes. 2 Timothy 2, 21. Read it and I'll ask you a question there.
Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work.
Okay. So, it looks to me from the tense of that we all start when we come to God, yeah, given our human weakness and our human lapses, we all start from the point of dishonor. Yeah? When we come, just as I am without one plea, yeah? You come. It's Christ that is making a difference in your life. But the question is, what do you have to do to move from honor and from dishonor to honor as a vessel? What do you have to do? Yes? Just based on that verse. just based on the verse, I need an answer. What does a man have to do to move from being a vessel of dishonor to becoming a vessel of honor or a vessel for honorable use? And when you're thinking, always think about the bath towel and the toilet towel.
I think the best I can say is to repent.
Repent, yes, more? Just looking at that verse, 2 Timothy 2:21, what do you have to do?
You need to clean yourself.
You need to purge yourself. Yeah? From dishonorable things. Hallelujah. You need to purge yourself from what? Dishonorable things. Let me say it in this way. Don't settle for spiritual mediocrity. Don't be okay with being spiritually mediocre. Don't be okay with, okay, I don't pray, I don't read my Bible, but that's okay. It's not okay. You know, okay, I don't come to church regularly, but that's okay. It's not okay. You know, don't look around and say, well, but there are some people that don't even ever go to church. So I'm still better. That is spiritual mediocrity. Yeah? Don't settle I don't do anything to serve God. You don't give, you don't labor, you don't serve nothing, but it's okay. It's not okay. There's a need for purging from what is dishonorable. Continue.
It's kind of a two-part to this one. So there's two scenarios I see. Those of the world that say God is in their heart and they don't need to go to church. Second one, which maybe is more practical for a believer, is somebody may live in a remote area and or an area where there isn't a Holy Spirit filled or Bible believing following church. So in the second scenario, it is acceptable to pray to God and worship from home.
Okay, so we look at the second. First scenario is simple, so don't need to talk about that. In the second scenario, yeah, it's going to be very difficult for you to be the only believer remaining in the world. Okay? Now, the purpose of church, the church is the body of Christ. And we're talking about the fellowship of believers. So let's assume I'm living in a village or a remote area where there's no church. My first assignment is to find another believer in that area. And I know somebody came to me and said, I look all around in this whole area. There's no what? Believer. Start preaching. Start what? Preaching. Because when you preach, what will happen? People will get saved. Then you will this fellowship with them and disciple them. You go and visit them. You will be having church in their house. Amen? And then, as you do that, as they are growing, both of you preach. Yeah? One will become two. Two will become four. Four will become eight. And then you started a church. You don't need a building. You just need Pastor Ben's house. Amen. You just need your house. Yeah. The church will start there. And so long it's growing and growing, one day you may need somewhere bigger. Amen. So really there's never any time in your life where you should run your Christian race alone. Because Jesus said, nobody else but Jesus. That he said, I will build my sure. That means that the plan of God, yeah, for the New Testament believer is connected with the church. See the way he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So Jesus' gift to the world when he was living is the church. And Jesus' gift to the church when he was living is what? The Holy Spirit. You with me? So when Jesus was living, he told his disciples, the church, said, don't be sad. Because when I go, the Holy Spirit will. That is the gift of Jesus to the believers of the church is the Holy Spirit. Say, thank God. I have the Holy Spirit. However, did Jesus give to the world, the package he left to the world when living, is the church. It's the plan. You cannot do better. That's why you don't stay home on a Sunday if you're a believer. Where do you go? To the church. The people that look like you. Hallelujah. You know that song we sang? He said his blood flows through my veins. We're not talking about your biological veins. We're talking about spiritually. Yeah? The blood of Jesus. Do you know that blood? We are identical. Hallelujah. We belong to that blood. We are of the same blood. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So I have some questions now. I want to go through list of. So thank you for that perfect answer, which is you have to purge yourself of what is dishonorable. Say with me, say, I refuse to be dishonorable. You know another word for it in Amplified was noble and ignoble. Yeah? I don't want to. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're happy to be poor, so poor that you cannot afford a meal. I don't want to be like that. I'm just giving an example in the physical. I don't want to be so poor that I cannot afford a meal. Hello? Do you want to? Anybody? You like poverty so much that you want to be begging for each meal. I don't want to be there. So that's physical. So same thing spiritually. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be the toilet rag. I don't want to. Let's leave that to serious people who don't know some headless chickens. I don't want to be a headless chicken. Do you want to be a headless chicken? Say, I refuse to be a headless chicken. Let's interpret it. Say, I refuse to be dishonorable. Hallelujah. In the hand of the master. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being honorable in the eyes of men. That's nothing. You can be honorable in the eyes of men and dishonorable in the eyes of the master, in the hand of the master. Yeah? I want to be honorable in the hand of the master. You know why? He is my master. I don't know about you, but I settled that issue in my heart. Jesus is my Lord. Voluntarily, intentionally, purposefully, and eternally. It's my choice. I made the choice. And if I have made the choice, I want to live it. I want to live out the choice I've made. I don't know about you. When you say Jesus is your Lord, I don't know what that means to you. But for me, he is my master. I'm not unapologetic about it. It's a choice I've made. I am following his plan for my life. Yeah, I want to align with that plan perfectly. Every day when I wake up, I'm praying, Lord, have your way in me. May your will be done in my life. Yeah, align me more perfectly to your plan. I have understood my life can never be better. Yeah, than the plan of God for my life. Even if people celebrate me and clap for me, if I'm out of the plan, I have missed it. Yeah, I cannot afford to miss it. So every day I say, Lord, give me grace. Yeah, to follow your plan for my life. Hallelujah. Say with me, say, Lord, give me grace to follow your plan for my life. Hallelujah. Now, let's take some questions, which is, what are those dishonorable things that we need to cleanse or purge our lives, purge from our lives? I want everyone to try to give me an answer, because the list is longer than the numbers. So let's have a go. Think about something. Think with all your experience, your Christian life, and also your knowledge of the Bible, there's actually a part of the Bible that gives you a long list. Actually, not one part of it. There are many parts of the Bible that gives you a long list of things that should be not in your life. In some parts, they even say it should not even be mentioned. Yeah? But the list is almost like endless in a way. Because, let me not give you any clue. So what are the dishonorable things that that needs to be removed from our life so that we can be a vessel unto what? Honor. Or a vessel for honorable use.
Actually, I wanted to check with you when they say youthful lust. So, it's only when we are young that we do lust, or are they talking about spiritually?
No, no, it's a good question. You know what you just done for me today, probably because time, we don't have much time, is by that question you're ensuring that I'm talking on that verse. Because it's possible for me to run out of time and not talk on verse 22, but I wanted to. What is useful lust? So I'll come back to the other question. I mean, why, we know that every human being can lust, yeah? But what is youthful lust? Mean that this one applied to what? Youth. Yeah? Okay, I've defined it, but can you explain to me better? Why is youthful lust different from general lust? What is unique or specific that is being mentioned in that verse? Youthful, it's a flee. Youthful lust. And maybe another question is that, is the only youth that are capable of youthful lust? When I say youth, I mean an age boundary, or is it not? Yes. Answers, what is youthful lust?
When you're driven by your hormones.
When you're what? Driven by your hormones and your brain is no longer working. Or let's, another way of saying that, youthful lust is stupid behavior. To be stupid, it means that you're not using your brain. Please, no offense, I wrote just definition. I want you to be, stupidity means you are out of reason. Are you with me? Stupidity means that you're doing things that are unreasonable. Let me give an example of something that is stupid, yeah? So you are served a delicious meal by my darling sister there, and you are given what? It's a spoon. It's a soup. She cooks special soup. I don't know whether you cook special soup, but let's assume you do. And you're given what? A spoon to scoop up the soup. The soup was served at the beginning of your party. It was served at the beginning of your party. And you're giving a spoon to what? I know it was soup, you like it's pepper soup. So you took that spoon and you turned it on his head and started scooping the soup with the bottom of the spoon. That is what? Stupidity. So youthful lust is lust that is driven by what? Hormones, as against reason. Your brain has been disconnected. It's like you packed it and put it in the cupboard and just let your body drive you. Yes, more definitions. Youthful lust. Come on.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure! Yeah? You know, like, there are stupid things in this world. Like, I've heard. I've not seen it. I don't want to see it. I'm not on TikTok and I don't ever plan to be on TikTok. I don't want to tick and I don't want to what? Talk. Amen. I heard that young people, some young people on TikTok, create challenges for themselves of dangerous activity. Someone says, there's a challenge of, I don't know a good example because I don't follow it. But imagine that someone says, you know what, I'm going to throw my body into, there was a challenge I heard in the news where a young person had a bet with their colleagues that they're going to eat up a worm or whatever they ate up. And they ate up this worm and that thing destroyed their brain. You can search it on Google. It happened. Say? Yeah, slug, a sloth, yeah. Just swallowed, it was dead to swallow it live. He just took it and swallowed. And that was the end of his life. He's alive, but it's like a vegetable. Yeah? It was responding to what? Peer pressure. Someone said, you know, we're going to have a challenge and you're going to throw yourself into, the lake, the icy lake, and we see who can last longest. Is a response to what? peer pressure. Yeah? Your friends are doing stupid things. But because they are your friends, you decide to join them. Where everything you know in you and your brain tells you that this thing is what? Dangerous or stupid or foolish. Yeah? That's youthful lust, peer pressure, hormones. Any other definition? I saw one. Flee youthful lust.
Recklessness.
What does it mean to be reckless? Come on, church, help me. Reckless. What does it mean to be reckless? In life. What type of behavior would a young person do that you say that is reckless? You know, I'm not looking for definition of recklessness. I'm looking for example. Like, and think of a young person. What behavior would someone do? Like, that is so reckless. Or maybe we should define it. What's recklessness?
Without care.
What's recklessness? Just definition.
So ignore danger.
Ignore danger. And any other definition of recklessness? I'll add one, to be wasteful. To just completely waste something. Yes, to continue. Yes, young person.
Can be harmful, but you don't care.
Not caring. And you add your namesake nodding over there. Okay, sir. Now, examples. Examples.
So, Brother Z's testimony was a perfect example.
Yes. You have two cars on a single windy road called 833. Because I'm familiar with that road. It's single and it's what? Windy. Sorry? Yes. And you have these cars because they have engine. Yeah? Because I know those cars have engine. The car I drive now, I can't do racing because the weight is so much. It takes time to move. And then they decide to race each other on that road. For what benefit? Just for the kick of it. Just for the pleasure of it. And now, probably their lives have been changed forever. That's recklessness. Stupidity is stupid. Yes, so any other example of recklessness? Any other person? Let's take one more. Let me give an example of recklessness. Oh, yes, sir.
I mean, you know the consequence of an action, and you're taking it. Just like young kids, you know you get into trouble. You know the rules and regulation, even in school. You're still being rude to your teacher, but you know the consequence. So it's stupidity.
It is stupid. For example, yeah. Let me give another example of useful or stupid. You have been taught things and you refuse to study. You spend all your time playing on the game or the internet. Yeah? Then 1 week to the exam, you are getting angry with everybody because you are stressed and you are not ready. What is that? It's stupidity. You had 12 weeks to study, and you were playing what? Games that will take you nowhere. So I want to chip this in. This is to adults and to youth. I just want to warn you that there are many things in life that are designed by Satan to take you away from the plan of God for your life. And one of those things is games. Because it's taking you nowhere. And even the ones that bring you fame, people with a lot of fame, they drift off. Most of them are very shallow in faith. Most of them get into lustful behavior. They won't get into it. They were not in fame. So you have all these famous sportsmen. Because they have a lot of money, they also have a lot of sin. They have a lot of baggage of sin. Now someone says, is it impossible to play sports and still honor God? No. But if you're going to play for another God, you have to honor God first. If you put God aside to pursue your fame, it is impossible to now have the fame and honor God. To honor God, you'll have honored Him and let Him work out your fame for you. If God is not first at the beginning, it's very difficult for him to be first in the middle. Because you do not start that journey with God, you put God behind. If you want to honor God with your fame, put God in front of you all the way. Yeah? And refuse to compromise. Yeah? The standard of God. That's why you're going to honor God with your fame. Otherwise, fame can lead you to the path of destruction. Hallelujah. And the statistics are there. If you don't believe it, check them. The famous people. Because fame frees your pride. Yeah? And money feeds your what? Your what? Your ego. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, let me see how we're doing time. Okay, let's just do like 7 more minutes and finish. So let's go back. And look at dishonorable things that we need to purge away from our lives so that we can be vessels of honor. Hallelujah. I say I don't want to be a toilet rag. Do you? Hallelujah. For in the hand of the master. Yeah? I want to be something, yeah, of special purpose. Something honorable. Not something smelly. Amen? I want something perfumed. Yeah? Smelly like a rose of Sharon. Amen? Okay, what are the dishonorable things? Let's just short examples. Anyone? What I'm looking at, both adult and youth, all of us. What are the things I need to purge away from my life to make sure that I'm a vessel unto honor?
Low caliber people.
Sorry?
Low caliber people.
Low
caliber. So like people that have low standards.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 15. Can you open that quickly? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's amplify that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. Let's amplify that. Yes, who has it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. Yes, whoever gets it first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33.
New King James Version. But each one of his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who were crushed at his coming. Oh, that's
definitely in 15. We're looking at
33. Oh, 33, not 23. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
Do not be deceived. Evil what? Company corrupts what? Good habits. Let's have New Living. New Living? Anybody New Living? Or ESV? New Living. Sorry, let me go for the young man. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Please listen.
Don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled.
By those who say such things. For bad company corrupts good character.
Bad company. I like the way, I just like the word character. Bad company corrupts what? Good character. So it means that you have good character or you are working on good character. God is working on you through his word and the Holy Spirit. If the people around you, your circle of friends, the people you chat with, the people you go out with, yeah? The people you play with, yeah? Are, you know, bad company. They have bad, low manners. Loose manners. Yeah? Their moral values are poor. Yeah? And they're your circle of influence. They will corrupt you. It's not they may. They what? They will. To be that they won't corrupt you is stupidity. It is foolishness, but it's also stupidity because this is just logic. Yeah? So, you need to mind the company around you. And I'm not saying you should not relate with people in the world. You should relate. But I'm talking about your close company. You see, we're able to relate to everybody in the world, both good and bad people. And we need to. For example, like at workplace or wherever. But if they are your close circle of influence, they will affect you. So they cannot be close. You cannot be chatting every day for 1 hour with an unbeliever because they must affect you with their belief system. When you say, well, what do you think about it? They will tell you what they think and it will not be in line with the word. Continue.
Yeah, just link to that, Pastor Ben. There's two things I've observed in myself, in my walk, is I think this also results in physical changes in the believer because my body is no longer so tolerant to alcohol anymore. And secondly, I physically do not want to watch the so-called mainstream TV news because it is utter propaganda and lies and deceit.
You know the funniest thing? I don't watch TV mostly for a different reason, but it's related. Yeah? Sometimes, and this is for me, you know, that's I can watch TV. I'm not saying you should not have a TV. I'm not saying you cannot watch TV. That's not what I'm saying. Please hear me well. What I'm saying is that if I watch a movie, and there's a part of a movie, so the movie, let's assume, is about how long on average? 2 whole hours. I thought it was 1.5. 2 whole hours of your life. And sometimes someone will sit and watch 3 movies. Say, I'm on holiday. I just want to download the whole series. But you have to understand that as you are downloading, you are also downloading the spiritual moral content of that series. And I'm not against a good story, you see. Or even a book you read. It's just that 5 minutes of intense corruption. Please note my word, you can write it down. 5 minutes of what? Intense corruption that I'm exposed to. It stays. I don't know about you, but for me, it stays. And in my moment of weakness, it comes back to nag me. It may amaze you that 5 minutes of intense corruption you watched 10 years ago, you can still remember in your moment of weakness. So I'm not making it a law. I'm not saying don't. It was a personal decision. What's not helping me? This is just a business proposition. It's not paying me. It's not paying my business. I'm not making profit. I'm not forcing you. But for me, I have just decided that I'm no longer going to deceive myself about this. This is not helping me. Yeah? I don't want to pick up something that will, you know, make my life more difficult in my moments of weakness. So I ditched it. Voluntarily. So movies no longer move me. I still watch movies, but I'm very, very highly selective. Because I found that those in charge of your movies, they are corrupt. They are morally corrupt. Morally. They are debauched. We use the word debauched. You put that next sometime. They are debauched. So why should I let them control my mind for 2 hours? So just, yeah. So we round up. Time is gone. So I take one or two any more comments and I finish.
I think God did it so well that when you have a fruit at home and then one is out of date and is next to the other fruit, you can see that the other fruit are also getting out of date. So it's physical, spiritual, and even in the nature, we can see it. So it's not just for Christian, it's for everything around.
Hallelujah. And that also shows us one, thank you. That also shows one of the keys to changing your life, if you feel that, you know, things are not in the right direction, is to change your company. And that again tells us the value of the church. The company will never get better than what? The church. Yeah? They will stimulate you. If you are struggling with faith, go to the church and mix with people who have faith. They will stimulate you. If you are struggling with the love of God, go to the church where people are practicing the love of God sacrificially. That will stimulate you. If you are struggling to pray, go and keep company with people who pray. That will stimulate you. Amen? If you are struggling to read the Bible, keep complaining, or go to a Bible study. Okay, any final comment and I'll finish it there? Yes, I just take one or two comments and I finish.
Just one more counter comment is, on a human basis, I do believe the humans, the Holy Spirit makes or encourages or imbues the believer with a higher sense of sensitivity. And in that case, unless they sear their conscience, they cannot consistently participate in any kind of behavior or engagement that will ultimately lead to their corruption.
And that, so let's just again say that if you are a true believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Yeah? And He's there to lead you and to guide you. Yeah? Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Yeah? And if you can keep your conscience clear, how do you keep your conscience clear? Yeah? Clean it with the word of God and practice repentance. Somebody say repentance, yeah? The Holy Spirit will be leading you and guiding you away from what will harm you. However, the danger of not repenting is that it hardens your conscience. Your sensitivity to evil reduces. Every time you've done wrong and you don't say sorry, yeah, you become less sensitive to that wrongdoing. You can get to a point where you're no longer sensitive. It's in the Bible. Talk about hardened conscience or conscience shared with a hot iron. It doesn't happen overnight. It's layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of taking God for granted. We don't want to be there. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He's what? He's faithful. And I also say that confessing your sins is not just to God. If you are genuinely confessed to God, if you have hurt people in the process, go to them and say what? Sorry. It's the power of that is so great, I cannot explain it. You do something to someone and they are meaning to take revenge on you and deal you a very bad blow. Yeah? But before they dealt you, you went there and said, you know what? I'm sorry. Have you ever been in the same way where you said, I'm not going to talk to this person again? What they done to me is so bad. I'm thinking you're a Christian, but they hurt you bad. Yeah? But if they came to you genuinely, say sorry. And you know that sorry is genuine because it's not just a sorry that takes you for granted, but a sorry that they know they are ready to make amends. Not a sorry that you know you're the one still chasing them about to make amends. You just find that your heart can let go. It's so powerful.